I think I'm going to need it. Thank you, Brother Dan. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, when you find your place in Philippians 4, if you would, please stand. Philippians chapter number 4, when you have found Philippians 4, if you would, stand. And we'll read a passage of Scripture together, and then I'll share some thoughts that God's laid on my heart about peace. The message from heaven on that fateful night when Jesus was born was peace on earth, goodwill to men. One day there will be peace on earth. I don't think it takes a person much or a lot of concentration or information to look and see that that time is not now. There's wars everywhere. And Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars. There's drug wars. There's gang wars. Thank you, Brother Dan. I certainly appreciate that. And domestic wars and foreign wars, just a lot of people at war with themselves, with their families. And, well, just seems to be a place of unrest our world has become. But I want to tell you from the Bible that you can have peace. Now, Jesus said in John 14, you don't have to turn there, he said that he could give us a peace that this world does not give. He said, peace I give unto you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you know anything about peace in your life? Peace. What is peace? Peace and worry are really, they're opposite. Peace means to bring together. Worry means to take apart. That's what the word worry means. A lot of people worry and fret. And as I said, they're at war. People that are lost, the Bible says, are at enmity with God. They're at war with God. We shouldn't be surprised when lost people speak out against God and the church and the Bible. That should be no surprise to us. We shouldn't expect people to honor God. They're at war with God. The Word of God says that in James chapter 4. The friendship of this world is enmity with God. Why? Because you're at friendship with something that is at enmity with God. And so I want to talk to you about peace. You're in Philippians. You're in chapter 4. And I want to begin reading in verse number 4. And we'll read down, well, through verse number 9. Okay? Philippians 4, verse 4 through verse number 9. If you would follow along as I read aloud. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and I pray that you would help us as we look at truths in your Word, promises in your Word, that would help us to understand what it is to live a quiet and peaceable life, what it is to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I pray, Lord, that we would not just know about this peace, but that someone would experience it even tonight. Someone who thought it was impossible for them to have peace in this world. Someone, whether it be here or someone watching by live stream, thought that their life would never know what it is to have peace. I pray that someone would experience the peace of God. And for we who know what it is to be at peace with you, I pray that we would understand that it's your will that we be a people of peace, that we experience your peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. God, help us to know what it is to experience and enjoy the peace of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture with me tonight, and so be prepared to do that. Because I want you to see what the Bible says about peace. People are clamoring for peace. I think people sell peace short. They think that, you know, I can do a couple of things and then I'll be at peace. I'll just go to church and then I'll just have this warm, peaceful feeling come over me and then everything will be all right. Well, that's not what the Bible says. I want to give you three thoughts here, and I hope you'll remember them. First of all, the realm of peace. What areas in our lives does God want to bring peace to? And then secondly, the resources. What has God given that we could experience this peace? And then the results. What is the results when we realize the realms of peace that God wants to work into our lives, and when we put to work or we apply the resources that God has given, what would be the result? What would be the result? Now, all of this is going to be based on the Word of God. And the Word of God is always right. It's always right. And so I don't know what your lot in life is. I don't know where you are in your life as far as, I don't know if you're at peace or at war. I don't know if you're in hard times or good times or mountains or valleys. I don't know. But the peace of God really doesn't depend on circumstances, as we shall see. You can have peace regardless of your circumstances because of where the peace of God comes from and who it rests in. And so that's what I hope that we'll see here tonight from the Scripture. Let's look again in verse number 4, and we'll talk about the realm of peace, okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. So, well, that's impossible. Well, I don't think, if it was impossible, I don't think that we'd be told to do it. God's commandments come with God's enablements. And so God has said here, he said, I want you to rejoice in the Lord always. Now, we'll get to this sooner or later. It's not talking about rejoicing in your circumstances. There's circumstances in life that we just cannot rejoice in. There's situations going on in our lives that we just cannot rejoice in. But the Bible didn't say rejoice in your situation or rejoice in your circumstances. It said rejoice in the Lord always. And there's a reason for that. So let's start with that, okay? What are the realms of peace? What are areas in our lives that God wants me to have peace in? I want you to take your Bible and turn back to the book of Romans. And if you're in the book of Philippians, turn back toward the front of your Bible a few books and you'll be in the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 5. This is the beginning of it all. As I mentioned to you, man is at enmity with God. Man is at war with God. Sin has caused man to be at war with God. Man will not listen to God. Man will not seek God. No man seeketh God at any time until God initiates a relationship. And when God initiates a relationship, man is to respond. And when man responds in a biblical manner, well, then God can offer peace to that individual. Romans chapter 5, look if you would, in verse number 1, therefore. Now, of course, this therefore is going back, and it's we went through the book of Romans sometime, and it's some time ago, and it was talking about sin and how that sin has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's in chapter 5, in verse number 12, and how that the wages of sin is death, and how that sin separates, and how that God did something about that by sending his Son. In chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so God did something about the sin question, the sin problem. And so here in chapter 5 and verse number 1, it says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith," watch this now, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the church doesn't bring peace, all right? The church can't give you peace. Now, there's a lot of good things about the church, and I thank God for the church. And I thank God for God's people, which is the church. But here the Bible doesn't say, just start going to church and all of a sudden you'll lead and live a quiet and peaceable life. Well, I believe a church is there to disciple. I believe it's there to provide ministry opportunities, opportunities for people to exercise their spiritual gifts, and a lot of other things. But if you want peace, you're going to have to go to God. Again, look what it says. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this scripture implies and infers that until a person comes to Christ, comes to God through Jesus, he doesn't have peace. Not real peace. I told you that verse of scripture in John. There is a substitute peace that the enemy has. The enemy offers cheap substitutes for what God gives. And Jesus said, "My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And it's not some feigned substitute, some cheap substitute. It's real peace in our heart with God. And so he said, the way that you get that peace, and it is eternal, then that's the first piece I want you to record. It's eternal peace. You make eternal peace with God. That's the first step. That's the first step. Eternal peace. Look at it one more time and we'll move on. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Have you made your peace with God? If you're saved, if you have come to Christ and said, "I'm a sinner, I've sinned against your commandment, I've sinned against you, I'm guilty, you're right, I'm wrong, I believe that you sent your son." That's what we just got through celebrating Christmas. God sent forth his son into the world. If you will confess that in humble repentance and confess with your mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved and you have peace with God. That's eternal peace. There's nothing like it. But you know, when you get saved, you have eternal peace. Now watch this, and if you're saved, you're going to know what I'm talking about. But that doesn't mean you have internal peace. Because now that you're saved, you have two natures. And so I'm going to ask you to turn just for a moment to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to talk about a different realm of peace. So there's eternal peace, and so that starts it. You have that peace with God, and you're just so thankful. Thank God. And I mean, you have peace in your heart. You have peace with God. And then as you begin to live the Christian life, you realize there's this battle going on in me. The Apostle Paul, and you don't turn there, you're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to catch up with you there. But the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter number 5, in verse number 17, 16 and 17, he talked about, he said, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So what is Paul saying here? He said, well, now that you're saved, you have these two natures. You have the Adamic nature. See, when you get saved, you don't lose the Adamic, the sinful nature, right? You get a divine nature. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. And so you get the Spirit of God comes and takes up his permanent residence in you. And when you get eternal life, when you get that eternal peace, it's in the person of the heavenly dove, the Holy Spirit of God, who comes and takes up permanent residence in you. And now you have peace with God. That's eternal peace. But then there's something that begins to happen on the inside. And you remember when this happened. It still happens. It may have happened to you already this week. Probably today, where there's this battle going on between flesh and spirit. And that's why we are encouraged, we are commanded to walk in the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded. Why? So that we would not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We would win the war so we could have internal peace, peace with yourself. See, once you make peace with God, the second most important thing is that you make peace with yourself. Look, if you would, in Colossians 3. I've asked you to turn there. In Colossians chapter number 3, the scripture says, look at verse number 15. Colossians 3, verse number 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is a conscious decision. The enemy cannot take your peace if you do not allow him to. The only way the enemy said, well, the devil made me do it. The devil hasn't made me, you, or anyone else do anything. If I'd done something I should not have done, it was a willful choice that I made. I may have been tempted of the devil to do it, but I yielded and I did what I should not have done of my own volition. And that takes away my peace with God. It hinders that fellowship and that peace that I received when I got saved, that eternal peace. Still there as far as the eternal, the lasting eternality of my peace. But now, see, I'm at odds with myself because I know that I've done something I should not have done, and I'm wrestling within myself. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. You ever said something in time? I mean, it didn't even get out of your mouth good, and you wish you could have reached and grabbed it and put it back in your mouth. But you couldn't. You've already said it. Now you have to deal with it, right? And you have to tell somebody, listen, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I should think a little longer before I speak. And pride will say, oh, you don't need to do that. They understand. No, I think we do need to do that. You say something you shouldn't say, tell them you're sorry. Amen. That could be your wife. It could be your husband. It could be your child. It could be your parent. It could be a friend. It could be your pastor. It could be a pastor to a member. We need to let our speech be seasoned with salt. So look at what he said here, and I want to go through this. The internal peace, okay? The internal peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's an internal peace. When you get saved, you have peace with God. That's eternal peace. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, you want to be at peace with yourself. And the only way you're going to do that is carry out the will of God in your life. For me to carry out God's will in my life. To keep his commandments. To do what he said. And when I break his commandments, I need to keep short accounts with God and confess my sin so that God, who is faithful and just, will forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Is that right, folks? Listen, this is what the Bible says about having peace. There's a lot said about peace. There's a lot of books on the market about peace. There's none greater than this book. This book has the answers to what it means to have real peace. And so you want peace with God. That's where it starts. But you also want to be at peace with yourself. And so you're going to have to walk in the Spirit. You're a Christian now. You can't do some things you used to do and still be at peace. And just skate on through life like nothing happened. Your conscience has been quickened. Your spirit has been quickened. You were dead in trespasses and sin. But now you've been quickened. You've been made alive. The Spirit of God lives in you. Who is the Spirit of peace? What did the Spirit descend upon Jesus as? The dove. The Spirit of peace now lives in you. And when you do not do right, when I do not do right, when we go against the dictates of the Holy Spirit and the teachings of the Word of God, we will be dealt with. And we have to make those things right. Internal peace. Let's read it one more time. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule is a very interesting word. It means make the call. It comes from the same root word we get the word umpire from. Let the umpire make the call. Right? Let the Holy Spirit of God make the call. I don't know if I should do this. He'll tell you. Amen. He'll tell you. He tells me. A lot of times, you'll get down and pray, now, Lord, if I've done anything wrong, which usually means I have, right? Yeah, if you have to go talk to someone about it, you probably know the answer to that. Most of the time. Most of the time. He says, so look at it again. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. And then he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I don't have time to go verse by verse here because I want to move on. But see, the word of God is closely connected to the peace of God. Why? Because when you get saved, the Spirit of God, who wrote the Word of God, comes to live inside of you, who will illuminate the Word of God when you read it, and it will help you be in obedience to what God has said so that you can have peace and be at peace with yourself as you're at peace with God. Can I tell you that there would be a lot of hospitals, and I'm not saying that every person that has psychological problems or psychosomatic problems, I'm not saying that every person that has mental situations, it's because of sin or because of things that they're not dealing with in their life, but a high, high percentage of them are. There would be a lot of people that could get off, and again, if you take medication, I'm not throwing stones at you. I'm just saying that there's a lot of, the research has been done. People that are not at peace with themselves are tortured by an unforgiven spirit, by pride, by things that they have done or will not do because they know better and they're not willing to do it, and they're having to reap that, and so they're not at peace with theirself, and so they're miserable. So number one, eternal peace. Have you made your peace with God? I hope that you have. I know many of you have, and I hope those that have joined us by live stream tonight, I hope every person knows what it is to be saved in the grace of God and have the peace of God in your heart. But then there's internal peace. Once you have peace with God, you're at peace with God, be at peace with yourself. You ever met, I think when Dr. Edwards was here, he just talked about, and I know whether he did from the pulpit, he and I had some long conversations about everybody's angry. You know, you're riding down the road, everybody's angry. No matter where you go, people are just angry. And it's because they're not at peace with themselves. They're at war with themselves. And they're frustrated. And they're angry. And it's because they're not willing to deal with things in their life that need to be dealt with. And so if you're here tonight and you need to get some things dealt with, I pray that you would deal with them. Deal with them. That's between you and God. If I could help you, or someone that you have great confidence in could help you, let them help you. Let them help you. Let them take the scripture and help you, so that you can get to the place where you say, well, you know what? The peace of God is ruling in my heart. Now turn back to Romans just for a moment. And then we'll move on from this, the realm of peace. Romans chapter 12. So we've looked at the eternal peace. Okay? Eternal peace. I hope that you have it. Eternal peace. Peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Being saved in the grace of God. Amen. I'm glad the war is over. Amen. I am. I run from God for quite a while, but I quit running. Now I'm running for Him, not from Him. Amen. And then peace with yourself. Are you at peace with yourself? Are you okay? You know, you feel good about where you are in life and what God's doing. Now listen, we could all do better. But I mean, are you okay with where you are in life and what's going on in your life and where God has you and the ministry you're involved in and those kinds of things? Are you at peace with yourself? Internal peace. Now here's the final one, external peace. So we have eternal peace. That's peace with God. Internal peace, well, that's peace with ourselves. External peace, Romans chapter 12, this is peace with others. Notice what the apostle said here in chapter number 12 of Romans. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. Now, I'm not going to read this whole context of Scripture, and if you want to ensure that I'm not pulling Scripture out of context, I'm not. But if you want to ensure that, read it sometime. I'm doing it for time's sake. I just want to get to verse 18. This section is talking about dealing with other people, okay? And then it comes down to this and says in verse number 18, the latter part of verse number, let's read verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. It's talking about relationships with others. Provide things honest in the sight of others, of all men. You see that? Now, here it is. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know? Don't go around looking to stir up trouble and cause trouble. You know, find a possible solution that can be peaceful. Now, I'm not saying that you can be a peacekeeper in every situation. I can find nowhere in the Bible where God told me to be a peacekeeper. Yeah. Blessed are the peacemakers. There's a big difference between making peace and keeping peace. Some people expect unreasonable things in order to keep the peace. Now here it says, if it be possible. Which gives us an out if somebody asks unreasonable things. Now some people are unreasonable. I can be. I'm glad nobody said amen. I was waiting. I'm going to check the camera on that one. All of us can be. And we know that about ourselves. Now whether we're willing to admit it or not, well that's another thing. But here the scripture says, you need to, if possible now, live peaceably with all men. Try to find a solution. Try to find a way to make the peace. You won't have to go around looking for trouble. We that have been alive for any length of time know that you don't have to look for trouble. It'll find you. Somebody say amen. Looking for trouble is about like a criminal looking for a policeman. You don't have to do that. All right? Trouble is going to find you. How are you going to respond to it? So here's three things. Did you get them? Did you get them? Have you made your peace with God? That's eternal. That's where it all starts. This thing of peace will never come your way until you get that step right there taken. And then number two, there's that internal peace. God has expectations. God has commandments. God has requirements, and God hasn't changed them. Man wants to change them. But God hasn't changed them. And there's just some things that when you become a child of God that is required of you and me. And if we will not do what God said, it's going to cause some disruption. It's going to take some peace away. And we're not going to be at peace with ourselves. We're going to be wrestling. And the flesh is going to grow stronger. And the wrestling matches are going to become, more violent. And so I just want to encourage you, walk in the Spirit. Be obedient to the will of God. Listen to the still small voice of the Spirit of God. And then be peaceable with others. All right? That's the external peace. Now, let's go back to Philippians, and we'll bring this to a close. We're going to turn to one more place of Scripture, but we're going to bring it to a close. Philippians chapter 4. So we have the realm of peace. Did you get it? Did you get that? I hope you did. Say, well, preacher, I'm saved. I have eternal peace. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But what about with yourself? You sleep well at night? You don't have ulcers? You don't worry all the time, do you? You don't fret? You're not angry all the time, are you? You're not on the edge all the time, are you? Hey, that's not natural. Now, we all are moved and we all have our day, right? Every dog has its day. We all have our time and we all have our day. That's just the way life is. But now, if your life is characterized by that, something's not right. Something's not right. If you're always on edge and always, you know, lashing out at people and rude and cantankerous and moody, it could be now. I can't say for sure. It very well may be that there's unconfessed, unlamented sin in your life. And the flesh is ruling the day. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of peace and comfort. He's the comforter. And so I would encourage you to get that taken care of. And then there's that external peace. Say, can we move on from this? You know, I realize, listen, this is something. You want peace, right? You don't want it. You don't think it's just going to come that easy, do you? If it came that easy, everyone would have it. There has to be some work put into this. Listen, Jesus did the work for our eternal peace, but now you're going to have to do some work. Listen, Jesus was on the cross for eternal peace, but you're going to have to take up yours for internal peace. You do understand that. I hope that you do. I'm afraid that there's a lot of people in Christianity that think that this is a cakewalk. I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to take up your cross. I'm not going to change that truth and glaze it over and gloss it over for people. It costs you something to follow Jesus. And if you're not willing to pay the price, you're going to know very little, if anything, about the internal peace that I talked to you about tonight. But now, if you'll do what Jesus said, if you'll follow his word, if you'll be in obedience to his word, there's a peace of God that we're going to read right here. Look, if you would, are you in Philippians chapter 4? It's the peace of God, look in verse number 7, which passeth all understanding. You see that? I mean, it's the peace of God. I cannot even begin to describe, I can't put into words to you the peace that God will give you in your heart. It's peace. I mean, the world can be coming unglued. The stars can be falling from the sky. The world can be in utter chaos. And you'll have a peace in your heart that you just can't put into words. There could be sickness and debt and heartache and sorrow. And yet in the midst of all of that, a peace like a calm river flowing through your being. And only God can give that peace. The resources. The resources. I want you to notice it with me, okay? First of all, it's Christ. Look at verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord. It's Christ. It's the person of Jesus. You fellowship with Jesus? Do you fellowship with Jesus? Well, I go to church. Well, I'm glad you do. You know, people go to church all the time, and sometimes folks don't even fellowship with Jesus. They just go to church. I read my Bible. I'm glad you do. But you can read your Bible and not fellowship with Jesus, because it'll all stay up here. It'll never make it down here. And so we have to be careful to make a conscious decision to rejoice in the Lord. I want to worship the Lord. We've been talking about that in our services. I got a good letter that was on the pulpit when I came in, and I'm not going to say who it's from. I just want to read you just a little bit of it. It just says, I wanted you to know that your series on worshiping our God is an answer to prayer from me. And I'll stop it at that. This person goes on to talk more about it. But listen, that's where it's at. You want peace? Look at verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in who he is. What do you know about him? The more you know about him, the more you can rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Is that what the scripture says? Continuously. That's what that means. Rejoice in the Lord continuously. Now, you can't rejoice when you're told that you've got a terminal disease. You can't rejoice in that news, but you can rejoice in the Lord, knowing that he will go with you through that time, and that he will, whatever his will is, he will never leave you nor forsake you. See, we can rejoice in the Lord. We don't want to believe that, but the scripture says you can do it. Always. You can do it always. So there's the person. And then notice this. There's the promise. Look at verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. That word careful means anxious. In other words, just quit worrying about stuff. You worry? Do I have any worriers in the house tonight? You wouldn't raise your hand even if you did. Worry is kind of the sin of the church, right? I mean, I've told you this before, how that people, they'll gather around the water cooler in the foyer of the church, and they'll brag about worry. But if it was about adultery, you know, they say, oh, I can't believe you, you know. But we act like worrying is a small thing. Can I tell you, God despises worrying. Worrying. So I just can't help it. Sure you can. Sure you can. You get to choose if you're going to worry or not. Yeah. So we have to be careful about when we start saying, well, you know what, there's just things that are outside of the realm of my power. Because then everything will come under that. And then there'll be, well, I was born that way. It's outside of my power. I can't help it. Sure you can. Sure you can. I'll give you just this one resource, and then we'll move on and close. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 6. Jesus gave a whole section on worrying. You worry? This is just one thing. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, he said, I don't want you worrying because worrying robs you of joy. Now, we all have worried. But I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that you have to worry, that you can't help it, that you're just doomed to a life of worry. You don't have to worry. You can trust. Now, there'll be a battle. There'll be a battle. If you're walking in the Spirit, you don't worry. If you're walking in the flesh, you worry. So I wish you wouldn't say that. Now I'm held accountable. Well, I'm just going to show what the Scripture says. Jesus says, stop your worrying. It's not just the preacher saying it. I'm telling you what Jesus, our Lord, said, brethren. I'm not being mean to you. I'm trying to help you to have peace. Peace. Peace and worry can't reside in the same heart at the same time. Matthew chapter number 6. Look, if you would, in verse number 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life. In other words, don't worry. That's what that, take no thought. Don't worry. He says it again in verse number 28. Why take ye thought? He said it again in verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought. Then verse number 34. Take therefore no thought. Don't worry. Don't worry about stuff. Trust me. Trust me. Give it to me. Could you imagine what would happen in our churches, starting with the preacher, if we prayed as much as we worried? Do you imagine? We'd have revival. Worry. It's not, please don't think that it's okay to be okay with worrying. It's not. It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of trust. It's an indictment on our Savior. It's like, well, I've got to worry because I've got to get involved here. God can't take care of this. I've got to get involved. God will take care of it. Your involvement is just casting your burden on the Lord. And that's what Psalm 55:22 says. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall not suffer the righteous to be moved. Peter said it in the New Testament, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for you. That's right. Amen. It's care. It's the thing that we were told not to do. Be careful for nothing. Don't be worrying about anything. That's what that verse says. So, why shouldn't I worry? Let's just quickly look at this, okay? Look at verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, which means by worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? Jesus said, this is how unnecessary worrying is. You're not going to add to your stature. You can't change anything by worrying, is what he's teaching here. Worrying doesn't change anything. And then he said, I'm going to take care of you. Do you believe that? Now, sitting here tonight, I believe probably most, if not all of you do. Yes, God is going to take care of me. But we have an enemy who's always going to whisper to us and tell us, no, God is not going to take care of you. Right? He's always telling us that what God said is not so. And God said, I will take care of you. And he's saying, no, God will not take care of you. Right? That's what the enemy says. And so if you look in verse 20, look in verse number 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? You see that? He said, hey, doesn't God take care of the fowl of the air? He'll take care of you too. You're much better than them. Jesus died for you. Yeah. He said, God will feed you. Are you trusting him? Look, if you would, in verse number 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? God will clothe you. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You see, what's being taught here, and again, I don't have the time to go into this. Read it sometime. You've read it. Read it again. Grab hold of it. God wants to meet our need. God wants to get involved in our lives. God wants us to call him into our lives and say, hey, listen, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust you to take care of me. I trust you. I'm not going to worry. Because when you begin to worry, it divides. That's what the word worry means. It means pull apart. Look it up. It means pull apart. Peace means put together. Peace is a form that comes through reconciliation. Worry is something that divides. It tears apart. And so the resources is the Word of God, the Spirit of God, trusting God. And so I'm going to ask you to go back to Philippians one final time, and that's where we'll close. So there's many resources. There's the person of Christ. There's the promises. Get in the Word of God. Know what God's promises are. It'll give you peace. It'll give you peace. All right, let's bring this to a close. Rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 4. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now here it is. Be careful. You see that word careful? It's anxiety. Don't be worrying. Worry about nothing, is what he's saying, but in everything by prayer. There's nothing too small or too big to pray about. I'm telling you what the Bible says. We either believe the Bible or we don't. There's no middle ground. You either believe it or you don't. I believe every word of the Bible. And the Bible's saying here, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. But pray about everything. Maybe the reason we worry is we don't pray enough. I'm not indicting you. I didn't say you. I just said maybe the reason we worry is we don't pray enough. We'd rather worry. We'd rather not pray and just worry about things instead of pray and take it to God in prayer. Oh, what peace, the songwriter said, we often forfeit. All because we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. Isn't that what the songwriter said? We forfeit peace because we don't take it to God in prayer. And so he said, don't worry in verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And then that word supplication is strong prayer. That's what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. It comes with praying and fasting. It's strong prayer. With prayer and supplication, take it serious. And then he said, do it with thanksgiving. Believe God's going to get involved in your situation. Thank God for it. Is that what he's saying, brethren? Let your request be made known unto God. So the resources, the promises, the prayer. And then finally, what's going to be the result? If I will trust God, and this is where we'll close. If I'll trust God, if I will go to Him in eternal peace and trust Him by faith and be saved, if I will do what He says, I can have internal peace as I walk in the Spirit. I can have external peace as I live peaceably with others, as I make a concentrated effort to live peaceably with others, and I'm not a discord sower, you know, just trying to sow discord and division among people. Some people just love, they just love that stuff. Listen, that's of the devil. Amen. That's of the devil. We're people that unite and bring people together. And so he said, there's that those realms, and there's the resources of the promises of God, the person of Christ, prayer. Well, what will be the result, preacher? If I'll do that, what will be the result? Here it is. Look at verse 7. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see that word keep? It's a word that stood for the stockade or a garrison. It's like a fenced area around a camp in the days of Rome. By the way, the man who wrote this was not living in a palace. He was in a dungeon. And he's talking about peace, and he's talking about walking with God, and he's talking about contentment in this passage of Scripture. And he said, you can have it. Your circumstances do not have to control you. The thing that life throws at you doesn't have to dictate how you're going to respond. You get to choose. You always listen, we don't always get to choose our action, but we do get to choose our reaction. I'm going to say that again, okay? We don't always get to choose the action, but we do get to choose the reaction. I get to choose how I respond to the things that happen to me in life. You do too. So the peace of God in verse number 7, which passeth all understanding. There's two things, one in verse 7, one in verse 9. There's the peace of God to guide us, and there's the God of peace, or the peace of God to guard us, I should say, and the God of peace to guide us. The Spirit of God shall guide you into all truth. That's John 16:13. So there it is. If we want peace, it's available. And I was thinking about how that so many people are just, they're miserable. They're angry, and they're not at peace with God. They're not at peace with their family, with their friends, with their neighbors. They're not even at peace with theirself. I'm not saying that's you. I don't know what's in your heart. I'm just saying if it is, let God help you. Okay? Go back and look through these scriptures and say, God, help me. I want your peace in my heart. I want the peace of God to rule in my heart. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention tonight.